Hi there. I'm outside today because I've gone over by some sheep in order to get some film of how the sheep move about, because I'm doing a game that's about sheep today. I'm doing a game called Sheer Panic. If you look over there, you can see how the sheep kind of group up. I'm staying away from them because I don't want the farmer to see me and get upset. So Sheer Panic is a game about dealing with...
Hey there, boy. What you doing?
Oh, hi there. No, it's okay. I'm just filming a little video here for the internet.
I can see that. You're out here on my property. I don't take kindly to that. What's that shirt say? Got wood for sheep?
Oh, this? No. It's a game. It's a game. This is a game called Settlers of Catan, where there are resources that are sheep resources and wood resources. It's a trading game. And you can
trade. Some kind of a game? I'll show you a game,
no,
boy.
I was just getting ready
to shear some sheep, but I can
shear me a stout. No reason to do that. Okay, bye.
Shooting on location. Bad idea.
Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. To see the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Hi there. I'm Scott Nicholson. Welcome to Board Games with Scott. This is a show where I take a game and explain it and briefly review it. My hope is to help you determine if it's a game you might want to purchase. This week, I'm going to be talking about Sheer Panic. Now, Sheer Panic is a game made by the Lamont brothers, and I talked with them at Essen 2006 about this game. So why don't we turn over to them and let them introduce themselves and introduce the game.
For once, I'll get to speak first. I'm Gordon Lamont. This is my brother Fraser Lamont. We are Fragor Games, Fraser Gordon, and we are the designers of Sheer Panic. Sheer Panic's a fun game where you move around a flock of sheep on their quest to score points by getting together, getting near Roger, the heartthrob ram, and staying away from the shearer who's out to shear them and spoil their fun.
So let me briefly run through what's going on in the game. You are managing two sheep out of a big flock. You can tell which ones are your sheep because your sheep have little colors on the back. And what you're trying to do is try to get your sheep in different formations throughout different periods of the game. The game is broken up into four periods, and there's represents four fields your sheep are running through. In the first field, you want to try and get your two sheep together. Again, there's going to be a big flock, and you want to try and get your sheep as close as possible. In the second part of the game, you're going to want to try and get your sheep as close to the front of the pack as possible, because Roger the Ram, ubba ubba, is there waiting for them, so you want to get your sheep near the front. In the third stage of the game, you want to try and move your sheep near the black sheep, who's going to be in the pack. And in the final stage of the game, you want to be as far back as possible because the shearer comes out, and the sheep shearer is going to come out and take out the top row of sheep and award points to people in the back. So during that fourth phase of the game, you want to be in the back. So as the game goes on, you want to try and manipulate your two sheep relative to the herd and score points in the phase you're in and set yourself up for future phases. Why don't we actually go in and take a look at some of the game bits now? This game has some of the best components I've seen in a mass-produced game in a long time. First, we'll talk about the scoreboard. This is the scoreboard and also marks the timing of the game. This is set up into four different fields, and there's going to be a marker that moves from field to field, indicating how you score points. Also, players will score points using this field. What is important to notice about this board is it has two sides. The sides look very similar. One side has 56 spaces, the other side has 74 spaces. If you're playing with three players, use a side with fewer spaces. With four players, use a side with more spaces. It's an easy mistake to make. Each player has a small chart in front of them, and this chart is going to represent the 12 things they can do during the game. As you use each one of these actions, you're going to mark it with a little chip, which means you're never going to be able to use that action again. So as the game starts, you have 12 things you can do, but as the game goes on, your choices are going to become fewer and fewer. So part of the game is balancing these 12 choices you have for the entire game to make them last. There's a rule book. The rule book is functional. It gives you examples and pictures of everything you need to know about the different moves the sheep make. And the back has a reference sheet that you can leave out so everyone can look at that. There are appropriate wooden chits for everyone to have, and two wooden dice that'll be used at different phases of the game. And then, most importantly, you have the sheep.
And no, that's so cute. Aren't you just the cutest little sheep as you are?
It's almost like little Precious Moments dolls. They're very adorable sheep dolls, and it'll be something that will actually attract people to the game because they'll see the sheep. Oh, it's so cute! The problem is, the game is this abstract strategy game. So someone who thinks, oh, it's so cute, will end up halfway through the game going, ah, that's a movie's cute little sheep. Something like that. That would be known as saying bad words. But anyway, that's it for the components. Why don't we launch right into the flow of play? So what happens during the game is players take turns moving the sheep around in the flock and scoring points. On your turn, you're going to look at your chart and you're going to choose an action you have not already taken in the game. You'll take that action, you'll then put a little disc on that action indicating you can't take it again. You will then move a flock marker ahead, the number of spaces it says on the square where your action was. That will trigger different phases of the game and some special activities, as I'll talk about later. But why don't we hear a little bit from the designers about how they put this game together?
Okay, I think it's probably easier for me to start. I was, I'm a ranger, and I work on a conservation site. So one of the sites I was working on, we had a flock of sheep which are used in various ways to help manage the site for wildlife. When I was out, I was thinking, what a great idea for a game, this herding a flock of sheep. So Gordon and I spoke about various ways, and eventually we managed to get the idea of the flock, the grid of 3x3, but it's all changing shape, and the manipulation of the flock. Originally we had cairns. This might be, you want to talk about the time we're coming into it?
Yes, one of the challenges with the game was trying to get a natural end to the game and also trying to keep the game moving along. And I had to attend a very boring legal conference for 6 hours, and I spent the whole 6 hours designing the timer mechanism. So I didn't learn anything about law, but I learned a wee bit more about the timer and the fields. And it was really by doing that, and then the both of us sitting down, that we got the structure to the game, which are, as you know, are the different fields that the sheep are going through, the different ways that you can score. But it also keeps the game moving along, and I think that one of the things we like about the game is that you can see the game gradually coming to an end and the tension building as the shearer gets nearer. So that was something that was a very good meshing of the two parts.
To talk about the flow of play, the first thing I'm going to do is talk about the four ways you score during the game. Now again, based upon the flock's position in these fields, which will be determined by this small flock marker that will move around the board, you will score in different ways. You score in one way, and notice this is field 1, as indicated by the small sign, field 2, field 3, and field 4. So you score in different ways in these fields. First, I'll talk about how you score in fields 1 and 3, because it's similar. So this is the flock, and during your turn, you're going to move some sheep around based upon some of the rules in the game, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. After you move your sheep, you then score in round 1 if your two sheep are next to each other. So if this were the situation, and it was blue, and I ended up doing this during the play, then I would score 2 points because my sheep are next to each other orthogonally. If the turn ended like this, I would score 1 point because the sheep are next to each other diagonally. So in the first field, you want to get your two colored sheep as close to each other as possible. Again, it's 2 points if they're directly next to each other, 1 point if they're diagonally touching each other. In the third round of play, it's very similar, but you look at the black sheep. And again, you get 2 points for each of your sheep that is right next to the black sheep, and 1 point if your sheep are diagonally touching the black sheep. And again, this scoring is applied to the player whose turn it is after the player takes a move. So during the game, you're going to be moving this marker around the board. Now, something happens if you land the marker on a red space, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later. But in round 1 and 3, you will get to score for your own sheep after you move. In round 2 and 4, you score for everyone's sheep when any player moves past or on the brown spots. So the brown spots are the scoring spots. So again, on your turn, you're going to move your sheep, and you're going to move the flock marker, and then if you cross over a brown spot, you're then going to do a scoring. Now in round 2, the scoring is all about Roger the Ram. Roger the Ram stands at the front of the flock, and any sheep that are close in the row closest to Roger get 4 points. Sheep in the next row get 3 points, sheep in the next row get 2 points, sheep in the next row get 1 point, and any sheep behind it get no points at all. In round 4, it's a little different. Round 4, the shearer appears. So in the 2 scoring opportunities in round 4, first thing that happens is the first row of sheep are shorn and taken out of the game. So about halfway through round four, you can lose some of your sheep. And then it's 4 points for the back row, 3 points for the next highest row, 2 for the next highest row, 1, and then 0 on up from there. So that happens twice in round four. So again, in round two, you want to be as close to the front. In round four, you want to be in the back of the herd. So now I'll talk about the things you do in order to try and achieve these goals. Now each player is going to have one of these displays in front of them, and as they do different things, they're going to mark them off, and they can't do that again for the game. The first two I'm going to talk about are the line push and the diagonal push. Now in each of these, the way it works, on the line push, you pick one line of sheep, and you move them one space, and you move the whole line. On a diagonal push, you pick one diagonal of sheep, and you push it in one space. Now, you can't actually just push it, because if you push it, everything's going to go cattywampus, and everyone's going to say bad words. Instead, what you do is you just say, all right, we're going to move this row that way one space. So you move to there, and you move him to there. Now, at the end of your turn, if you ever have the flock separated, then you have to deal with that. And you always take the smallest group and deal with it first. Now, if you can move the flock one space and rejoin the rest of the flock, then you do that, and the player's turn dance chooses which way to go. In this case, this one guy over here will have to move to here or here. He can move one space, and the player's turn dance chooses where that sheep goes. Now, we still have this group that's broken up from this group. So again, the player's turn dance will choose whether they're going to go to here or whether they're going to go to here. Both are valid. Now, if something happens in the turn such that the sheep ends up being more than one space away from the rest of the flock, like this, then you have to roll a die. This die is going to tell you which way you move the sheep. If you roll this, then you move the sheep in a straight line, the fewest number of spaces possible, to reconnect. Again, the player whose turn it is can make a choice. In this case, I can move him 2 to here, or I can move him 2 to here. If you roll this symbol, it means you move the sheep diagonally to match up with the flock. And again, you move it as few spaces as possible. This is barely ever used in the games I've played. Usually the person can just move the sheep one space. So now this is the lamb slam. The way the lamb slam works is you pick one of your own sheep and you move it in one direction. And just like with the push, you push everything else that's in front of it. So let's say I was blue. I could say, well, I want to move this sheep this way one space. And I move it, and I'll leave a gap there. So the big difference between it and the previous two that we've seen is you don't move the whole row. You just start with your sheep, and you move your sheep one space and push everyone else out of the way. The next one I'll talk about are these two, which is one small step for sheep kind. It actually says in the rules you have to do that. So one small step for sheep kind. And what this means is you pick one of your own sheep, you move them one space into an empty space. They cannot separate themselves from the flock during this move. So I could, for example, pick this red. I can move it one space up to here. That's how that works. The next one I'll talk about is this, the wool rule. Now, the idea of this one is that the sheep just ran into a fence. The active player chooses one side of the flock, and it's like a fence was there, and the sheep all ran into it. So the active player could say, I'm choosing this side, and the sheep all go, boom. Boom, boom. And that's this one, called the wool rule. That one can be pretty devastating when you're trying to be in the front or in the back, and everyone goes running up to the front, or everyone goes running back to the back. The last two I'll talk about are the two most powerful ones. This one is called boing. And the way it works is you take your sheep, and you move it in a straight line to the first empty space you hit. So you go, boing. You only have one of those to use during the game, so use it wisely. But it can be used to go all the way from the front, for all the way from the front of the pack to the back of the pack, which can be very important. And again, if this happens, the person who's turned in will have to rejoin the flock. The final one here is the U-turn. Ha ha ha. The U-turn. And in the U-turn, you pick one 90-degree direction. Despite it being called a U-turn, you're actually going one click. You pick one direction, and you turn all of the sheep in that direction. This one is devastating right before the scoring of the ones with the sheep in the front or the sheep in the back. And again, each player only has one of those to use during the game. So that's it for all the special actions. Now notice there's numbers on each action, and the numbers are going to tell you how far the flock marker moves on the scoreboard after you take your action. Now notice those red squares. I talked about those earlier. The way the red spaces work is if you move the flock marker onto a red space, so let's say you're at 17, you do something that's 3, and it moves the flock marker 1, 2, 3 spaces, you land on the red. You then do one lamb slam. The way it works is you roll this die, and the color that you roll is the color that you do the lamb slam with. Now in rounds 1 and 3, you actually get to score your sheep before rolling this die and dealing with the effects. If you roll the white symbol, it's a U-turn in the direction you choose. If you roll the black symbol, then you move the black sheep. So again, that only happens if you end up having the flock marker land on one of the red spaces. You then roll the die and do a lamb slam. I do want to talk about how you start the game. When you start the game, you set up the sheep like this. It shows this in the instruction manual. And then each player rolls the die and does one lamb slam of that sheep in the direction of their choice. So all four players will do one lamb slam, and then you'll actually start the game from that point. And that's pretty much it for the game. You're going to choose your moves from this card. You're then going to move the flock marker around, which will be the timing. Depending upon what zone you're in, zones 1 and 3, you'll then score points. Zones 2 and 4, you only score when you pass the brown zone. By the way, this line here is to remind you, when you hit this space, you have to stop. Even if you would move beyond it, you stop, and then you do your second scoring for field number 2. You try and keep your sheep alive. This is a dangerous space because the front row of sheep gets shorn and taken out of the game. And try and make the most points that you can as the game goes on. And that's it for Sheer Panic. Now, I asked the Lamont brothers to tell us a little bit about some advice for first-time players. Let's hear what they had to say.
I think a lot of new players, they neglect the timer track, and they're just looking too much about what they're doing this move. You need to look at what field's coming next. So, as well as maximizing your points for that move, it might be worthwhile sacrificing points for that move and looking what field's coming next. For instance, if you're coming to the black sheep tip, a good one's to try and maneuver yourself next to the black sheep before that scoring round. And it's very easy to score 2 sets of 4 points because you're right next to the black sheep. And that's one that's neglected a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think as well that some people have said, well, a lot of the moves are similar. They're not. There's quite subtle differences between them, and in particular the numbers that correspond are different as well, and that's deliberate. And what you should be trying to do as well, I think, is to leave yourself as wide a range of not only moves but also numbers in a way that allows you more flexibility later on. Yes, there are things that can happen that have happened by the time it gets back to your turn, but part of the game is planning to be able to adapt to that as much as possible.
And also look what the next player, what moves has he got left, what is he likely to do? It might be you can position his sheep in a way that makes him do something that benefits you as well. It's quite a common one as well.
Yes.
Push their sheep out and maybe they want to rule theirs back,
yep.
Which brings yours back at the same time.
Also, U-turn and
boing.
Sorry, just to interrupt there. When we discussed with some of the other publishers, one question which came up was whether the word boing needed to be translated into other languages. And eventually everybody decided, no, everybody knows what boing means. But anyway, those two actions are very, very powerful and should not be used lightly to get towards the end, even when it appears that there's a large amount of points which may be on offer. Because you can very quickly find yourself down to one sheep and in some form of trouble.
Before we get to my conclusion, I asked the Lamont brothers about some of the troubles that they had when they were putting this game together. Let's hear what they had to say.
Michael, I got one. One of the main challenges we faced was to get the sheep to move. A game like that can very easily become very static. And what we wanted to do was to introduce it so that on occasions there could be significant changes in the shape of the flock and also significant changes in the sheep moving from side to side. Now we did that by creating the return to flock mechanism, which sometimes can result in quite widespread movement, and also the U-turn and the sheer panic rules for the sheep, which was introduced to the timer mechanism. What that meant was that sheep weren't just, that were in the middle, weren't just static. that there was a lot of movement that, that players could deliberately introduce, and it meant that the game flowed much better. But at the start, one of the issues that we had was you had these sheep that were stuck together and there wasn't a great deal happening. And it was getting the moves right, but also the sheer panic on the score pad right to introduce sufficient movement to the flock to keep it interesting.
So what do I think about sheer panic? I enjoy the act of playing the game. I find it a fun game to play. On the other hand, it's a game that is pulling itself in several directions. The components are very cute. They'd be attractive to people who are into lighter fares, and if they come to play this game, they might be a little frustrated by it. It's, on the surface, an abstract strategy game, because it's really just moving your pawns close to each other or by the black pawn or whatever. So people who are drawn to this game because it's an abstract strategy game have to get over the fact that the pieces are cute. The problem is that there's a lot of change that happens before your turn comes around again. So while it's got the feeling of an abstract strategy game, you don't have the control that you usually have in an abstract strategy game. So it's got more of a, well, let's just enjoy the ride feeling. I think for two players, this might be a much more interesting abstract strategy game. For a larger group, for three or four players, it's more of an entertaining ride game. But because of that, it's hard to classify. So I'm going to give this game a B, because it's difficult to put it into a group. One of the things I try and do is I try and match up the game with the people I'm playing with. And I have a hard time thinking who would be the group of people that I would pull this game out over any other game. I have a tough time deciding that. I think it's a fun game, and so people who want to play a fun game would enjoy the playing of this game. So with that, I will conclude my review. I'll invite you to check out other reviews over at BoardGamesWithScott.com. So with that, I'd better go. Bye!
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license.
By the way, if you like this shirt, you can find it and many more over at MeeplePeople.com. They have a lot of fun board game shirts and other promotional items. Sheep were provided courtesy of Pete White at imafish.co.uk, where you can find his documentary about sheep.
How about the actual then publishing of it? Because you did it yourself first, so talk about how that went.
That was very tough. Very tough. We had made, as you know, we had made Leapfrog ourselves, and there were 500 games that we had made there. Being a small publisher, it is important to keep quite substantial control of the costs, because you don't know what's going to happen when you're publishing games, although each year you get a better idea. So we had decided, once we had looked into the cost of getting it published, because we were doing a small run of 550 games, the cost of getting it professionally produced were prohibitive. So we decided to do it ourselves. And in particular, we made the boxes ourselves. And when I say we made the boxes, I mean you got the flat cardboard, you cut the sides to turn them up, you stapled them together. This is bringing it all back. I'm getting Vietnam flashbacks here. Putting glue on the box to put the cover around.
Although Gordon says he did this.
Yeah.
Gordon makes such a hash of his first five or six copies that he generally gets... Yeah. Put onto some other task at this point.
The task that I found myself doing was mounting sheep. I mounted 5,000 sheep in the course of 6 weeks.
Isn't a record in Scotland?
No, it's not. But it did involve... it involved a large, large amount of work. And even the week before we went to... The games had to leave in the pallet. I wasn't sure that we were going to get it done in time. And really what has happened, once we got the games there, we were just so delighted to have games to give to people. But it meant that this year, when there was a discussion as to whether we should get the game professionally produced or not, there wasn't much talk of cost from our wives, who were more than happy, A, to have their living rooms back, and B, not to have to do the work involved in that. So it was tough, though. It was tough going in. I think it's something that will stay with us.
Yes. Scars. The other main problem we had with the game was the naming of the game, which took months and months and months beyond the playtesting. And I'm glad to say that finally my idea was chosen.
Yeah. mine was Flock You. That was vetoed for a number of reasons, which I'm still astounded at.
We're also very happy, as far as I know, we've got the only game with a tipping round in the whole of the world, so that's something to be proud of, I think, at first.